lot more apostasy in the church. If there's a whole lot more falling away going on in the churches, there's not going to be anything left. Every one of the Lord's churches is small. I haven't gone to a members of a church of truth, a pillar and ground of truth church, in a long time that had over 20 or 30 members. And you don't find very many, it's up to 30 anymore. So when you find these pillar and ground of truth, so to speak, that are 100, 150 members, not in the United States of America. You may find them in the Philippines, you may find them over in Thailand, you may find them over in some other parts of the world, but you don't find them here in the United States of America. They don't exist anymore. People have fallen away from the pillars and grounds of truth in the Scriptures. They don't desire them, they don't want them, and one reason is we've been demonized so bad. The way Satan wins wars, whether it's political or whether it's religious, the way Satan wins wars is through demonization. He demonizes everything. His people demonize everything. They demonize us because we're against abortion. They demonize us because we're against homosexuality. They demonize us because of many things that we're against. Many things we believe. They demonize us because we believe in God the sovereign. They demonize us because they believe that we believe that God saves sinners. They demonize us because we believe that salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the Holy Spirit saves sinners. That they demonize us for all of that. How dare you believe God is sovereign? And it goes on to say that all they want to program is that Jesus Christ loves everybody, that God loves everybody, that God wants everybody to be saved, that Jesus wants everybody to be saved. Folks, if that was the truth, everybody would be saved. Amen. Can we say that God's will is not done in anything? No. We've looked at a couple points. We looked the first week at our introduction. And the second week, we went into the first point of our message. And that was we spoke about the church services. And today, we want to speak about the proper government of a local church. A church is a sovereign, independent body. She's supposed to be the body of Christ. She's supposed to be a pillar and ground of truth. She's supposed to be one that keeps herself pure of evil in the world. You can't do this if you're letting, like our border down south, if you're letting just everything come in. You're going to get a lot of bad characters. And they're going to destroy the church. Because the Lord promised over in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 that if the church, he told the church at Ephesus, that if you do not keep to the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ will remove the candlestick and there'll no longer be a church. And it will remain that way until the church apologizes to the Lord, straighten yourself up, and starts walking orderly, then the Lord will once again replace the candlestick. And basically what I've likened it to, and what it basically is churches are excluded from the Lord's body if they do not keep to the truth of God's word. And what Jesus described in that, taking the candlestick out, not making them a church anymore, is exactly what happens in exclusion of a church member. The Lord commanded that the churches keep themselves decent and in order. Now, keeping themselves decent and in order is the pastor's job. So goes the pastor, so goes the church. If a pastor is lenient and the church allows the pastor to be lenient, the church will be lenient. If the pastor is strong and the church accepts that and goes with the pastor being strong, the church will be strong. The church goes as the pastor goes. The teaching of the church circulates through the pastor. He's the one that's responsible for, one, for overseeing the Lord's church. Two, he's also responsible for the under-shepherd of the Lord's church. He's the one responsible to lead the church, be the strong one in the church, and to keep order in the church, decency in the church. He's the one that's supposed to look at the congregation, and if he finds people doing errors in their life, like adultery, fornication, drugs, alcohol, just sinful ways, he's supposed to correct them or try. If you go back to Matthew 28, we're going to now look at the government of the church. The proper government of a local assembly is the title of the second point. When Jesus talked to the 11, he was talking to the church. When Jesus talked to 11 in Matthew 28, they were 11 people there. They wasn't a whole bunch of people there. They were 11 people there. These 11 men were the apostles, the leaders, the ministers of the Lord's church. These are the proper authority figures in the church. When you find in Acts chapter 6 that the Lord told them to make deacons, the deacons were to help them with the underlying stuff, like helping with the families, helping with prayer, helping with feeding the families, helping with caring for the needy. They weren't there to run the church or run the pastor. They weren't there to govern the church. The Lord Jesus Christ governs the church through the pastor and through the church itself, not through seven figures in the church. Here, the 11 were there. They were the 11 leaders of the church at the time. And he says in Matthew 28, verse 18, in the commission he gave, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, think about that, because the Lord said that all power, Jesus Christ, all power God has given unto me in the heavens and in the earth. So all the power is given to Jesus. All authority has been given to Jesus. Therefore, the power that be of God and to the churches were given to the entire churches, a unified body, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was speaking here to the 11. He wasn't giving them the power. He was giving it to them for the church. And therefore, the power and authority was given to the entire church, not just to these men. The authority for the churches are given from church to church by mother churches' authoritative powers. If you go back into time, in the Bible days, you'll find missionaries sent out. Paul was a missionary. Peter was a missionary. A lot of the people went out on mission journeys. Paul was a pastor sometime, wasn't he? But he was primarily a missionary and primarily a writer of some of the scriptures. And therefore, his power and authority came through the church. Paul didn't just get it, he got it from the church. These men were sent out. We send out missionaries, don't we? Brother Sullivan is sent out from Denver Springs to go out into the world. Brother Rawl, now his church came out of Denver Springs, Louisiana, but also now they're a church, so they have their own authority through the Denver Springs Church, which means the mission work that they're doing there now, because he's no longer a missionary or church. So the mission work they're doing is a ministry of printing and getting things out. Right now they're getting a lot of food, things out to Ukrainians. That's all through their church, but we support that, don't we? That's the government of the churches. That's the power and function of the churches. Now go to Acts chapter 1, if you will. A lot of people, and I'm going to pull my jacket off if you don't mind. I usually keep it on anymore, but I'm going to pull it off. A lot of people believe the church started in Acts 2. The problem is, the authority was given to the church through Jesus Christ before he died. After he died. He gave them the authority, and the authority was to go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching the things of the scriptures, baptizing them which believed. And Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is teaching, isn't he? Who's he teaching there? I believe he's teaching the church. A called out assembly. That's what a church is. It's a called out assembly. Jesus called them out, took them to the mountain, went up in the mountain, and preached them. He preached the message on the Beatitudes. The church existed. The church existed in Jerusalem. That's where the church settled at. It was in Jerusalem. But people say, well, no, it actually started in Acts 2. It's a universal visible church. First of all, there's no possible way for the church to be a universal visible body. It don't even match up with scriptures. It's totally false. Anybody believes that? They can believe it if they want to. But it's totally false. The church is a local New Testament body. It is not a universal body. The universal body has no government. Has no pastor, has no treasurer, has no way to accept members, has no way of baptizing members, has no way of disciplining members, has no way of being the pillar and ground of the church. Do you understand where I'm going here? It doesn't exist. There's nowhere in Acts 2, every time you get one of these people and you say, well, where in Acts 2 did the church start? They can't tell you. Last person I got that conversation with blocked me on Facebook simply because I asked him to show me where it started. Because, and the only reason I got involved with him was because he damned the landmark churches in his writing, and it made me mad. I said, well, that's fine, just go ahead and show me where they started next to you, and we'll be okay. Next thing I knew, I was blocked. The power and authority is shown in the church in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, the church is together. Notice in verse 23, and they appointed two, Joseph called Beersheba, which was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, and he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas was transgression fell, that he might go in his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and their lots fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, in other words, he was the 12th apostle. Now, I could get into a conversation all day about this vote being taken, but there's no question Paul is the 12th apostle. No question about it, okay? Paul is the 12th apostle. Paul replaced Judas. Now, anything about Matthias, you just have to figure what the church did here. But first of all, they took a vote, didn't they? The power is given to the church to do these things, to vote on things. As an independent body, there was no SBC, ABA. I'm sorry, I can't spit these things out. My mind works about 3 seconds or 10 seconds behind my tongue, so you have to forgive me sometimes. But there's no SBC, ABA, other form of any kind of Baptist church there. None. There was one church at the time. And these people exercised authority They exercised authority that they had. They thought that their job was to replace Judas with Matthias. So the lots fell upon Matthias, and Matthias was named with the 11, which in other words, he was to replace Judas. Later on, we learned that Paul was appointed as the 12th apostle, and he was there to replace Judas. So the men of this church had a responsibility. One, to discuss the problem. Two, to nominate or make motions. Three, to vote on that. It is a duty, not an option, for the church to fully function in an orderly manner. You understand what I'm saying? It's not an option. The only way things get done in the church, if the men of this church speak up, tell their minds, and settle things once and for all. You understand what I'm saying? We have to talk about things and discuss things, and then we have to nominate things, and then we have to vote on them. Amen. Sometimes the problem becomes people don't want to talk. Man, it's our job to take care of this church. It is not an option. It is an order. The women don't do it. The men do it. Never forget the power of the church that the church has. The power of the authority was given by who? Jesus Christ, wasn't it? His will is shown through the discussions, the nomination, the seconding, and the voting of the Lord's church. Here in Acts 1, if you read the chapter, well, I think I have it. Let's go back to verse 24. They prayed. In verse 24 it says, and they prayed. Before they voted, they prayed, didn't they? When we open a business meeting, I normally pray. And they prayed, and this gives them their request to God for a right decision. You want God to make the decisions through the hearts of the men when the nomination process is done, when the second process is done, and most certainly when the church's vote process is done. You want to make sure that it's all done. Then verse 26, they cast their lots. It says, and they gave forth their lots, and they cast their lots for Matthias, didn't they? In those days, look at verse 15. Verse 15 of our Acts chapter 1. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and the number of names together were about 120 people. 120 people. It doesn't say men, does it? No. There was about 120 people in this church together at this time. Was that all the members? I don't know. I don't know how many members the church had. I know after the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2 and the power of the church, they really grew, didn't they? They had like 5,000 and 3,000 and 5,000 a day, you know. So it is assumed that the whole church cast their vote. There's about 120. It doesn't say the men only voted. It just says they voted. If women don't want to vote, that's their privilege. Some of them consider it speaking. That's their privilege. But it doesn't say only the men voted. Now, let's go secondly to the missions of the church. Again, this is the powers of the church that be. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, go church, go, go church, go, 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 go. The Lord never said to stop, did he? How does the church go into all the world? We send missionaries. When I first came here, we supported, y'all were supporting missionaries. We changed most of them since then. Some of them have died, some of them we just changed. We had I know we had Brother Sotokup over in the Philippines. We had Brother Pugh over in Romania. And somebody else. I can't remember who it was. But that's who we had, three missionaries. We've always tried to hold at least three missionaries, haven't we? Well, we need more. Right now, we have one missionary and two mission works. We should have at least two to three missionaries. We have Brother Sullivan in Thailand right now. That's the only missionary we're supporting as a church. Now, the other ministers are good, aren't they? The Red Baptist Banner, we just started supporting. I'm glad, and thank you for that. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. Not that they carry my article. They can cancel my article today. It would bother me a little, but not much, because I really don't think I'm a very good writer. But because they're a good paper, and they're giving their paper to places like the Philippines and Thailand and other places, just giving it to them. That costs money, folks. We need to help them with that. We help Brother Rowe entity over in Romania with their mission work of printing and getting out things. We're going in Ukraine. We help with that. That's all good. So we used to support Brother Rowe. But Brother Rowe is now a pastor of a church, so we help that church with their. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord told us, gave the authority and the order to the church to go into all the world. He said, therefore, go, and teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father and Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. Amen. To the world means to every living soul. Go over to Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, the Lord puts it this way in that great commission. He says in verse 15 of chapter 16 of Mark, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You understand what he said? The church's obligation, the church's command, is to make sure we can't get the gospel to the world. I mean, we get it on Facebook. We had sermon audios for a while. People wouldn't listen much to it. We have our website. Don't cost a lot of money, but it's there. People want to get into it. It's worldwide, so it's Facebook worldwide. A lot of my Philippine friends, some of them listen to it over there, and also. Other people in the world listen to it, don't they? But it ain't enough. The heart of the gospel getting to the world is done through mission work. Amen. Missionaries. These men are sent out, charged from a local New Testament church with authority of that church to preach that gospel to the world. Our goal is every creature. Not some, but every single solitary person in the world. It don't matter what you think about them. Lord never told us to like or hate people. He told us to love them and pray for them, didn't he? If you love someone, you want them to be saved, do you not? See, that's the reason the Lord told us to love them and pray for them. Because we don't know how many God has elected or who God has elected. Take, for example, Saul of Tarsus. If you lived in that day, if you were a part of that church, Jerusalem, would you have even thought about praying for Saul of Tarsus? No. You may not have known him. And if you did know him, you wouldn't like him. Saul of Tarsus was a very hateful man. He's a very lowlife. He was, Saul of Tarsus was about as bad as scum could get in that damn time. He hated God. He thought he loved God, but he didn't. He said later he thought he did, but he didn't. He hated Jesus Christ. He hated that church in Jerusalem. He was a good Jew, remember? He was a good Jew. What's that mean? By him being a good Jew means he hated Christ. Jews do not like Jesus Christ. Not even today. They tolerate him. They tolerate Christians to come over there because it brings billions of dollars to the economy by people going to the Holy Land. I mean, people get thousands of dollars to fly over there, rent their hotels, eat their foods, to be baptized in the River Jordan. Just to be where Jesus was at one time, so to speak. So it's economically good for them. Plus, the United States of America has been good to Israel. But they don't love Jesus Christ over there. Some Jews have been saved, right? Saul Tarsus was saved. A lot of Jews have been saved, but the vast, have not. And they still hold to the old Jewish customs. So, would you have prayed for Saul of Tarsus? No. But he was elect of God, was he not? I mean, look at what God done with him, right? Jesus came to him while he was on his way to persecute more than he'd already tried to persecute before, and they got away, so he was going to go chase them down. And on his way to chase him down, Jesus met him on the road. Saul, why does thou persecute me? Lord, that's you? Man, you read those words, Lord, what will you have me to do? Jesus saved him. What happens? He winds up in the ministry. He winds up as an apostle. Who appointed him? Jesus did. Who told him he was an apostle? Jesus did. Jesus told all the apostles they were apostles, did he not? He appointed every one of them, did he not? All 12. So here's Saul of Tarsus walking into the Lord's churches. Can you imagine Nancy Pelosi walking into this building, sitting down? Chuck Schumer? How about Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Joe Biden all walked in this church, dragging Kamala Harris behind them? It'd scare you, wouldn't it? These people have a lot of authority, do they not? If you don't believe me, they have a lot of authority and power. Look at the man named Donald Trump. They destroyed him. He's destroyed. He will not win another election. Anyway. Saul of Tarsus was likened unto them as far as hate. So here he comes into the churches. You can just imagine everybody sucking their breath down the throat. right into their bellies and locking it there. Ain't that Saul? He hates the church. Look at what he did in Jerusalem. Paul was an apostle for probably 40 years. I mean, he was apostle for a long time. He came to be loved in the churches, didn't he? Once people found out what God had done for him, what Jesus had saved his soul and called him to be an apostle, once they found out, he delivered letters to the churches. We have them, Church at Corinthians, Church at Thessalonica, Church at Galatia, Church at Philippi, on and on. He pastored at Ephesus for, what, 2 or 3 years. So we see what Paul done, but nobody ever thought Saul of Tarsus would ever be saved. So you don't know who God's going to save or how he's going to use them. So we preach the gospel to everyone. In Russia? In Russia. In Ukraine? In Ukraine. Look at the work that's been done in the Philippines. We at one time, I don't know what they are over now, Brother Medic can tell you more than I can. I know, I talk to a lot of people over there now, or a few people, not a lot of people, I talk to a few people over there. But that place used to be covered with missionaries. It's like they, you know, like ants, you know, piled up out here in my yard, you know, they're everywhere. Same thing in Thailand. Thailand probably has more missionaries than it's got people. You understand what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of missionaries over in Thailand. And that's good. There's a lot of churches over in the Philippines. There's a lot of good sovereign grace people over there. There's a lot of good ones over in Thailand. Why? Missionaries were sent there. It's all about getting the gospel out to the world, teaching them, because that's our command. It's our command. It's not an option, folks. Any church that does not support missionaries or mission works are failing in their responsibilities. I used to know churches that had like 10% of their, you know, the Lord tells us to give 10%, so they supply with 10% of their earn of their monies. 10% went to missionaries, mission works, missionaries. Because it's our job to get, like the Berean Baptist banner, to the rest of the world. If you don't know people in that area, other parts of the world I'm talking about, like Philippines, Thailand, places like that, they don't have much money. I don't. You could send somebody over there $20 and it's like getting $100 over here. I mean, it just goes a long ways over there for them. So they don't have money to afford a year supply of Berean Baptist banners. So our Bibles, Brother Sister Hammond's brother, her nephew now, Bob Lamont, who we had here, did the Baptist ministry out of Shelbyville, Tennessee, sends truckloads. Containers full of Bibles over there free. To all them places. That all takes money. And they're not any kind of Bible. They're King James versions of the Bible. See, that's what people need in the world. That's mission works. So when we send the Berean Baptist banner over there, we send something else over there, we do a lot for them. If you're ever in Denham, talk to Brother Bob. Brother Bob Keller was a missionary in Germany for years. So he knows what mission work is like. Brother Few knew that. That's how I know so much about it. It's because I've talked to both of them about it. So anyway, let's get into our last point here before we... And next week we'll start with Dismas Church. This is the mission of the church. This is the business of the church. So this is not a church option. Any of this is not a church option, folks. It is all a command of the Lord. The authority is given to the churches. We are a church with that authority. Not supporting mission works is a violation of scriptures. There is only one way for the churches to collectively get together and get the gospel to the world and teach the world and baptize new saved souls, and that's through missionaries. And missionaries' works are the authority of the home church here in the United States of America or some other part of the world. We're not the only churches. There are certainly a lot of churches out there, aren't they? So next week we'll get into the discipline of the church. I'm still working on that. That hope to get that in 1 week, next week, and finish this. Now, the purpose of me preaching this message is because a lot of churches are falling by the wayside. They're falling by the wayside, folks. I've heard from people, and a pastor in that part of the area up north of here, Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, that line of up there, a lot of preachers are, and churches, some of them are falling away from the truth. Some of them you may know. Some of them you do know. I'm not going to get into it. Not for me to tattle on them. Have separated from some of the truth of God's word. And some of the churches have separated from that. This church will not do that. Because if it does, you'll be looking for a pastor too. I'm very bold in the truth. I believe the truth is what I believe. And I don't give for anything. I'm not going to give to get people into here. If this church never gives me a dime, I'm okay with that. If I have to pay my own bills and portions, I'm okay with that. I'd rather that happen than for this church to give in to the world and worry about money. Because money should be the least of our fault. The least of what makes us go. Attendance. We don't build the church. I don't save sinners. You don't save sinners. This church don't save sinners. God saves sinners. The Lord builds the church. I don't build it. You don't build it. The Lord built it. If we build it, you know what we're going to get? We're going to get the world in the Lord's church and lose the candlestick. Keeping the candlestick that we can't even see, but keeping that candlestick is the main thing we need to focus on. And the way we keep that candlestick is be the pillar and ground of truth. Not what I believe truth is, not what you believe truth is, but what the Lord says truth is. And I believe we believe that truth here. I believe we hold to that truth here. I believe that this church is a pillar and ground of truth. Our members care about what we teach here. They care about what we believe here. They care about the song service here. They care about the songs that we sing here. They care about who's doing things in our church. And I do too. That's the reason we don't let just anybody do something in our church. This, folks, is a pillar and ground of truth in this area. We are it. Amen. And we need to keep it strong. And one of those ways to keep it strong is to make sure that proper discipline of the church members is served. And we'll get into disciplinary action next Sunday. Okay? Let's all stand.
Judge is going to come. Please, in a song.